words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, as we are in the season of Lent, what we're talking about right now is we're talking about some of the sacrifices that happened in the Old Testament. The sacrifices that were required of people living in the Old Testament and how that relates to us today. And something I probably didn't make really clear last week when we started this, we talked about the burnt offering. I want to bring up the idea of something that that church scholars often refer to as types and shadows. Now, what types and shadows are when we talk about something in the New Testament that is similar to something in the Old Testament. Something in the New Testament that looks like something in the Old Testament. Now, these are not necessarily things that are prophecies, but things just particular events. For example, the two examples that really come to mind for me the most, we look at the fact in the New Testament we read about how Jesus spent 3 days in the tomb. On the third day, Jesus came out of the tomb. And we can kind of look back in the Old Testament and we remember our story about Jonah, how he spent 3 days in the belly of a fish. And sometimes this is referred to, the Jonah story is sometimes referred to as a shadow of Christ in the tomb. And likewise, as we celebrate communion, which we'll do today, we look at the communion and we look at the Last Supper as being a shadow, or not being a shadow, but we look at the Passover meal as a shadow of communion. See, there are two things that are very similar. And I've been looking at these sacrifices in the Old Testament, the sacrifices that God required in the Old Testament, as being very much shadows of things that we see in the New Testament. And today I wanted to talk about the meal offering, which is sometimes referred to as the grain offering. Our scripture lesson comes from Leviticus. It is the second chapter in the book of Leviticus. When someone brings a grain offering to the Lord, his offering is to be of fine flour. He is to pour oil on it, put precious incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priests shall take a handful of the fine flour and oil, together with the incense, and burn it as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offering made to the Lord by fire. If you bring a grain offering baked in an oven, it is to consist of fine flour cakes made without yeast and mixed with oil, or wafers made without yeast and spread with oil. If your grain offering is prepared on a griddle, it is to be made of fine flour mixed with oil and without yeast. Crumble it and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your grain offering is cooked in a pan, it is to be made of fine flour and oil. Bring the grain offering made of these things to the Lord. Present it to the priest, who shall take it to the altar. He shall take out the memorial portion from the grain offering and burn it on the altar as an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offering made to the Lord by fire. Every grain offering you bring to the Lord must be made without yeast, for you are not to burn any of the yeast or honey in an offering made to the Lord by fire. You may bring them to the Lord as an offering of the first fruits, but they are not to be offered on the altar, as a pleasing aroma. Season all of your grain offering with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offering. Add salt to your offerings. If you bring a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, offer crushed heads of new grain, roasted in the fire. Put oil and incense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall burn the memorial portion of the crushed grain and the oil together with all the incense as an offering made to the Lord by fire. This is God's word for God's people. So what is this a shadow of? You're probably asking yourself by now. This is a shadow, as we talked about the burnt offering last week, is a shadow of our love for God. This is a shadow of our love for one another. I see it this way because a major portion of the offering is not really offered to God, but it is given to the priests. You see, the provision, the priests in Old Testament times did not have jobs outside. They did not have jobs outside of the church, and their provision was provided for them by what was left over from some of these offerings, and this grain offering is part of it. So when we're thinking about this grain offering, this offering of the first fruits, it is an expression of our love for one another. As Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 39, to love your neighbor as yourself. See, this is part of the first fruits. This is part of what is being offered. It is an offering to God. There is a part of it that is given to God, and it has that fragrant aroma to God, which means that the intention of this offering is to please God, but it also helps us to provide for one another, to show our love for one another. Some of the elements that are here, we talk about the fact that it is grain, and that represents the fruit of our labor. It represents the things that we do, because we grow things, whether we do actually or not. We talk about ourselves oftentimes as Christians. We talk about the fact that we sow seeds. And a great portion of what we do to show love for one another is to tell one another about the gospel, to spend time praying with one another, to tell one another about the love of Jesus Christ. And even though everybody in this room, I hope, certainly knows these things, it never hurts to be told, even when you already know, that Jesus loves you. I never get tired of hearing it. So it is part of it to please God, certainly, but also part of it to provide for one another. It talks about the fact that when you are making this grain offering, you add oil to it. Now, oil throughout Scripture is representative of the Holy Spirit. I know when we anoint people with oil, there's nothing, you know, we get these little, I, of course, forgot to bring mine today, but I usually carry around with me a little vial of holy oil. What it is, it's olive oil with a little bit of frankincense in it that has been blessed. It's been prayed over. And when I am offering a blessing to someone or praying for someone specifically, we anoint them with oil. Not that there's anything magical about this oil, but the oil represents the Holy Spirit. So we add oil to our grain offering, to our meal offering, to represent the fact that when we make this offering, we do it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us in our giving. The Holy Spirit is with us in this time of sacrifice. We are also told later in the chapter to add salt to the offering. Now, salt, I hope I'm not good. If there's anybody who has like a no-salt diet, I hope you don't find this tempting. But to be honest with you, salt is there to add flavor to things. We add salt to things to add flavor. I know it's hard to eat popcorn without salt on it. I just have trouble with that. Salt adds flavor, and it's also a preservative. And we use it sometimes in our religious things that we do. I know I didn't know this until recently. You know, not having grown up in a Catholic tradition, I've never really had exposure to holy water. But I was listening to somebody who was talking not too long ago about holy water, and I thought it would have just been water from the tap that the priest prayed over. But they actually add salt to it. And when you are putting holy water on something, because you think you're putting water on something, the water's going to evaporate. Well, the reason that there's salt inside of it is the little bit of salt gets left behind when the water evaporates. So there's still part of that blessing there. And as we are making this offering, the salt is there to add flavor, to something to improve just a little bit. Because it only takes a little bit of salt. It really does take just a little bit of salt to add enough of that flavor. Although I know some people like to add lots of salt. Ruby is a big fan of salt. She's not here, but I'm going to mention this anyway. She likes to add salt to just about everything. And sometimes we have to remind her to stop salting. But just that little bit of salt. But no honey. We're not adding honey to our sacrifice. Because we need to remember, part of the sacrifice is being burnt for God. Did you ever burn honey? It stinks. Burning honey stinks. It is not that, well, it tastes sweet. The aroma of burning honey is not sweet. And we need to remember, in this particular offering, in this particular sacrifice, It is going to God, and part of it is intended to please God. So when we do this service for one another, whatever it may be, it is our intention that this service be pleasing to God and not just helpful to the person we are serving. And we're also, when we make this bread, supposed to leave out the yeast. Now, yeast, through Scripture, always represents corruption. I know in the preparing of the Passover meal, they make their bread without yeast to represent the fact that everybody was getting out of Egypt fast. Everybody was in a hurry to get out of Egypt, so they didn't have time to let the bread rise. So they made their bread without yeast. But it's also come to represent in Scripture corruption. So much so that when the Passover celebration is being celebrated, part of the ritual is that you're supposed to get all of the yeast out of your house. You're supposed to sweep all the yeast out of your house because the yeast is corruption. Curiously, and I didn't know this until too long ago, that's where our tradition of spring cleaning comes from. We're cleaning the bad stuff out of our house. We take extra time to get rid of the yeast, to get rid of the corruption, and we do not add that to our sacrifice. We do not add that to our offering. Our offering needs to be pure. It needs to be clean. And remember, just as I was reading through this again recently, I started thinking again about, if you remember back in Genesis, if we remember back to our Sunday school days, the story of Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. Well, they made sacrifices. Abel, who was the shepherd, sacrificed a lamb to the Lord. And Cain, who was the farmer, sacrificed wheat to the Lord. And God did not find Cain's sacrifice acceptable, which is why Cain got angry with Abel and murdered him. And I'm trying to figure out, well, what is it that Cain did to keep this sacrifice from being acceptable? Part of the grain sacrifice, part of the meal sacrifice, also involves the burnt offering. You see, the sacrifice of the grain in and of itself is not enough. There is also an animal sacrifice involved with it. Cain's sacrifice was not complete. When we make this sacrifice, when we make this offering of service to one another, this offering of love to one another, we need to remember in it that it is pleasing to God only because we also have this love for God as well. While it is important that we serve one another and help one another, the heathens do that as well. I know a lot of people who are not Christians, who don't believe in God, say they will never believe in God, aren't going to listen to thing one about God, don't care about God one bit, but they're really nice people, and they're really helpful. But that work, that labor, that love that they have for their fellow man does not please God in and of itself. I'm sure it doesn't disappoint him that they're being nice, but God wants us to love him as well. That's part of it. Part of our sacrifice to one another, part of our showing love to one another, also includes loving God. I know a fellow I'm in touch with occasionally on the internet is getting married soon. And he was asking the old married guys for advice. And one of the pieces of advice that I sent to him, I know it's something that Robin has suggested to Ruby sometimes, is that I advised him to remember, no matter how much you love your wife, love Jesus more. Robin always tells Ruby, if you're going to look for a boyfriend, find a boyfriend who loves God more than he loves you. And I've actually been giving that some serious thought, why that is. And I love my wife, I love my daughter, but I do love Jesus more. I remember that my wife and daughter are gifts to me from God, and I am able then to love them more that way than if I didn't love God. Because I think a man who would love his partner, wife, girlfriend, whatever, more than God is probably loving himself more than any of that, whether he cares to admit it or not. And while we do need to love and regard ourselves, certainly, again, we need to love God more. In so doing, it is easier for us to serve. In so doing, our love for one another bears a better aroma for God. It pleases him more when we can love one another in his name. And I think the greatest expression of that love for someone would be to tell somebody who needs to know that God does indeed love them, whether they think they want to hear it or not. I know some people don't want to hear it. I've had people tell me, as I am trying to tell them of God's love for them, that they don't want to hear it. They don't want to know that. But the fact is, they need to. I tell them anyway. I think that that is probably the best way we can love our neighbor, to share God's love with them. Because otherwise, our acts of kindness might really be empty. They would just be things we do. I know we live in a culture where we talk sometimes about random acts of kindness. Well, I'm going to come out right now and say I'm not a fan of random acts of kindness. I'm a fan of acts of kindness driven by God's love. When God directs us, when the Holy Spirit leads us, when we pour oil on the bread, it is more pleasing to God. And overall, I think that is really the reason we offer. That is the reason we sacrifice, is to please God. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for today, to put it in a single word, is difficult. But let us remember, as we go about our day, let us remember our grain offering, that it is an offering not just to God, but it is something that we give to one another, a love that we show to one another in God's name. Not just to our Christian brothers and sisters, but to our neighbor, whomever that may be. We can best show our love for them by providing for them the bread they need, the body of Christ as we took it in communion. What a great gift that would be to give to someone. Imagine how wonderful it was when you received that gift, because we've all received it. How wonderful it is for someone to receive that offering. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.